Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Benoît Roumet. How are you, mate?
Hello.
Hello. You're the director of the Wines of Loire?
Yes, it's we have two organizations in Loire, and I take care about the promotion of wines of the Centre Loire, so in the middle of France. And one of the most famous appellations of the region is Sancerre or Pouilly-Fumé.
Yep. But do you cover all the Loire or just those?
We work together for the very, very large export market like China or USA. But for Great Britain market, I work only for my region.
Oh, excellent. I'd like to cover all of the Loire.
Of course.
Obviously, you want to give Sancerre and Pouilly-Fumé a bit of a plug.
But I know a lot.
We'll cover them towards the end. How does that sound? But let's start off at the Atlantic coast, because where is Loire, first of all?
So Loire, and the Loire is the longest river in Europe now, wide, and it's more than 1,000 kilometers from the south of France to the Atlantic Sea in Nantes.
Oh, it starts in the south of France.
Yes, very, very south, but the major wine region is on the same level from Nantes to Pouilly-Fumé. So you have 99% of the vineyards in 400 kilometers from the Atlantic Sea to the center, very center of France.
Pouilly-Fumé starts below Paris, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's 200 kilometers in the south of Paris.
Yeah, okay.
And middle of France, and after that you go through Centre Loire, Touraine, Anjou-Saumur, and Pays Nantais with Muscadet region near Atlantic Sea.
Perfect. Well, let's start at the Atlantic Sea and work our way back
up
into the center.
It works in both ways.
Yeah, so we're going upstream.
Yeah.
I suppose, first of all, up the river, though, before we get into it, the river, quite an important thing for most wine regions to get wines to market before the roads.
Of course, always. If you see the Rhône, if you see Garonne, if you see Loire, you have the first development by the monks. It's true in the France, but especially in Loire, where you have monasteries everywhere, and they prefer to plant vineyards near the river because it was easy to take the wines in the river to the sea and after export in UK, for example.
Yeah, so how long have they been making wine in the Loire?
We suppose that the first planted wines was in the 5th century after Jesus, and it starts in the Muscadet region, so near the sea. And after that, all the regions, maybe between the 5th and the 6th century.
Okay, so they've been going for, 1,500 years in general, give or take a few hundred years here and there. Okay, so
it's
quite
a long time ago.
Yeah, quite a while ago. Were they growing any other, the main grapes they're growing now is like Chenin Blanc, Cabernet Franc, but is there any other sort of weird grapes that used to be popular that aren't anymore or maybe coming back?
It's fun because, of course, you have main grapes in Loire. You have Melon de Bourgogne from Muscadet, Chenin Blanc and Cabernet Franc from Anjou-Saumur and Touraine, and Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Noir from Centre-Loire. And of course, you also have very local, like Romorantin, for example. And we just find in a very small appellation, Quincy, they rediscover an old grape named Genouillet.
What was the name of that grape?
Genouillet.
Genouillet.
Yes, it was produced in the region, in the central region, before phylloxera, so before the 19th century. And after the phylloxera, they don't replant it. But we still have 3 or 4 roots, and very passionate winemakers, they take back and try to say, okay, we don't have to forget because it's part of the history. But of course, it's not a sale because it's only small parcels.
Yeah.
But the main grapes parcel, as I said, is still Melon de Bourgogne, Chenin Blanc and Sauvignon Blanc for the white, and Cabernet Franc, Gamay and Pinot Noir for the reds.
We'll come back to those in another show. But let's just start off with Anjou then. By the coast, is it wet?
It's not the same, of course, because you have two different elements for the Loire. It's a very long region.
Mm.
So, of course, you don't have the same climate from the sea, of course. So it's oceanic climate.
Yep.
So you have the same level of rains in Nantes than in Sancerre, but not in the same moments. So in the near the sea, you are going to have more small rains, but a lot of small rains.
Quite regular.
So voilà. And you have not so low temperature in the winter and not so high temperature in the summer, thanks to the oceanic influence. Mm-hmm. So it's why here in this region, it's the kingdom of Melon de Bourgogne or Muscadet. So they produce more white wines. I think it's 95% of the production. So, of course, the main important production is made from Muscadet. So you have Muscadet, Muscadet Côte de Grandlieu, Muscadet Sèvres-et-Maine, one of the most famous. And usually it's wines you can drink easily with seafood and because thanks to the freshness of the wine. But you can also age them, and you can find very, very nice aged wines from Muscadet.
I was reading, I've never noticed it, but some people talk about them having a slight saltiness to the wines.
Yes.
Is that a function of just the sea salt coming in on the
wine?
No,
no, no, at all. We don't put salt in the wine.
Yeah. No, I mean, like on the grapes, you know, you get sea spray onto the grapes and then that takes
into
it.
It's more of a, it's more of a typicity of the genes of the grapes.
Okay.
And in... Sometimes you can have, thanks to the vinifications, you can have this kind of salty notes. So it's not salty like you put salt in the but it's more
like iodine or something like that.
And it's like you're near the sea and you can smell a little bit of salt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and is that common throughout the whole region, or is it more common towards the coast?
No, it's usually it's more in the Muscadet region. You can have this kind of notes.
Okay, and is it mainly Muscadet that's grown in Anjou, or is there other grapes?
No, it's only in Pays Nantais, so it's very in the western part. And thanks, you know, in Loire Valley, you have different kind of soils also because the climate is going to be changed. The more you go to the center of France, the less the oceanic influence is going to be big. So it's going to be more and more continental.
Yep.
And you have also different kind of soils.
Yep.
So here in Nantes, it's more volcanic soils. And this the combination between the soils and the climate is very perfect for Melon de Bourgogne grape.
Okay.
So after that, when you are going to arrive in Anjou-Saumur region, climate is not the same, the soils are not the same, so the main grapes are not the same. And you will arrive in Anjou-Saumur in the region of Chenin Blanc and Cabernet Franc from the red and the rosé.
Okay, we'll come back to Melon Bourgogne later on, but we're moving across into Anjou now.
Yeah,
Anjou-Saumur.
Anjou-Saumur.
Is it always Anjou-Saumur or Anjou? Or
it's part. We used to call the only region Anjou-Saumur because it's big connection and historically it's the same region.
Okay, it's in the same department then.
Yes, yes. You have two departments. It's Maine-et-Loire. And of course, you have some different parts, but we used to call Anjou maybe more for rosé and red, and
yep.
Saumur more for the white and the sparkling.
Okay, now that makes sense. It's where you start getting into your Cabernet Francs, which is important grape variety in France.
Of course, it's one of the kingdoms of Cabernet Franc with the western part of Touraine, because you have a main appellation like Anjou, Anjou Village, also the... dry rosé, rosé d'Anjou and cabernet d'Anjou.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a really, really important grapes for, it's very concentrate on Anjou-Saumur and Touraine.
Yeah, so that's the main part for the cabernet franc.
Yes, yes, yes. Very in the middle of Loire Valley wines region.
Do you find that in the middle there that it should be a bit cooler, more towards on the left hand side, so you're getting lighter? Do you tend to make more the rosés, and then as you head more into the central, you
get
more?
No, it depends because the region is very nice. You know, if for example, if you want to plant Cabernet Franc in Sancerre, it never works because you have to wait until December or January to get ripe. If you have a lucky winter, if I can say, because it's very complicated. So the weather is very perfect for Cabernet Franc in Anjou-Saumur and Touraine.
Okay, and it doesn't ripen in. In Sancerre?
No. It's why in Sancerre it's Pinot Noir.
Yeah, because I always think of the more central you get, the more continental, the hotter the summer.
Yes, but it's continental, but the winter is colder, because you can have frozen. The summer can be hot, but not every year.
Oh, okay.
And the Cabernet Franc is a second generation grape, so you have to wait more.
Yeah,
so if you wait too much in Sancerre, it never ripe.
Because you hit the start to get into that cold winter.
Because you know we are in the northern appellations, like in Burgundy, in Alsace.
Yeah, yeah.
So the choice of the grapes is very limited. Because of course, if you are in the south, you can plant every grapes because it's always get ripe.
Yeah, okay.
But if you are in the north, the grape you can plant is the choice is very reduced, and in this part Cabernet Franc is very suited to the climate and the soils.
So it sounds like Anjou, Sommières and Touraine, they have longer growing seasons because they're a bit more moderate at temperature in winter.
And after that, it's why they always sometimes the Cabernet Franc, except of course for the sweet wines, the Cabernet Franc is the last grape you pick.
Yeah.
After Sauvignon Blanc, after Melon de Bourgogne.
Okay, and Sommières makes fizzy wines as well, doesn't it?
Fizzy, sparkling.
Crément de Loire.
Crément de Loire, of course.
But also it's got a few other names.
So you have the main appellations for sparkling in Loire-Vallée, because you have to know that Loire-Vallée wines is the second region of production of AOC sparkling wines, after Champagne, of course. Mm-hmm. And so the main appellations have Crément de Loire, Saumur, Brut, and you can also make sparkling with Touraine, Touraine sparkling, and also Anjou.
And they generally use Chenin Blanc for that, and there's a bit of Chardonnay thrown
Chenin
in.
Chenin Blanc, some Chardonnay, and sometimes only Chenin Blanc, like the most well-known appellations for that, Vouvray and Montlouis. It's 100% Chenin Blanc. But usually you can make a blend. Chenin Blanc is the major grape, and after that you can blend with Chardonnay and also Cabernet Franc.
Moving further across, you start getting into the Touraine and the, what do they call it? It looks like Chenin, but it's Chenon, isn't it?
Chenin, yeah. Chenon.
Chenon.
Chenon for the red, of course, is one of the most well-known. Touraine is important, interesting for two stuff, because of course it's a region of a château. Château de la Loire, it's near Tours, so it's the very region of the Château de la Loire. And you have the western part of Touraine with Cabernet Franc, with appellation like Chenon, Saint-Nicolas de Bourgueil, and after that you have the eastern part with Chenin Blanc, with Vouvray and Montlouis-sur-Loire, and after that the Touraine Sauvignon Blanc with the Sauvignon Blanc grape.
Yeah, I quite like Vouvray, but I've been tripped up a few times by Vouvray. I like it dry, I like it sweet.
Yeah.
I like to know which one I'm ordering.
it's always fine. It's Vouvray and Montlouis are really interesting for that, because it's in this appellation with only one grape, Chenin Blanc, you can produce, as you said, sparkling, dry wines, off dry, and also sweet wines. And it's one of the magic side of this this grape. Chenin Blanc is a magic grape for that, because you really can make nice wines, and you still have the acidity. You still have the freshness. Even if you have sweet wines, it's never heavy in the mouth. It's always light, because, or thanks to the freshness, thanks to acidity. So it's really nice, because you can drink it and don't be tired when you taste this kind of wines.
When I'm tasting a Vouvray, is there any markers on the label that can help me tell between the sweetness and the dryness and all
usually
that?
Usually more and more, because even for me sometimes I'm a little bit assay. Is it dry? Is it off dry?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
More and more of the winemakers put the level of sugar, so you can know what you taste.
And what do they put? This like sec?
Sec, demi sec, the moelleux.
Moelleux being sweet.
Moelleux
sec
means sweet. Voilà.
Sec being dry, and demi sec being just off dry.
Voilà.
I remember doing a tasting a long time ago, and they asked me to recommend a wine to go with some food, and I'd really experienced a lot of dry Vouvrays at that stage. I knew about the sweet ones, but I'd really seen a lot of dry ones, and I ordered the wine, and I was pretty sure it was dry, and it wasn't, and it just didn't work at all. So I was a bit miffed, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. It's always tricky, but I really, more and more I see on the label the winemakers put it's sometimes they put the level of what you can feel.
Yeah.
Because it's different, you know. Yeah. Dry in Sancerre is not the same dryness than in Vouvray.
Yeah.
But now more and more it's easier to find the right level.
And in terms of that, how much sort of Vouvray is dry, off dry, and sweet?
The most important production is sparkling in Vouvray.
Oh, is it?
Yes, really. And a very nice sparkling from Chenin Blanc only. So it's very interesting sparkling, because it's more winey sparkling wine. So you can put that, you can make a nice match with the food.
If I don't know whether it's dry or off dry, you know, if I got a 50-50 chance of getting it right, or
I think you can find maybe after that in the still wines, 40 dry, 40 off dry, and 20 sweet, I guess.
Fair enough. We're just moving further up into it. There are some other regions, like is it Saint Brie? which is the Sauvignon Blanc, a bit like it. Is that technically in the Loire Valley? Because it's quite a bit further away.
Yes, it's completely in Loire Valley. It's just in Loire, you know, because you have Loire Valley, and you have in the left bank, you have Sancerre, and in the right bank, you have Pouilly. So if you speak about administrative region, it's in Burgundy. But for the wine, it's in Loire Valley.
Yeah.
Because it's only Sauvignon Blanc in Pouilly Fumé. And the fact, the name Pouilly Fumé is coming from Blanc Fumé. And Blanc Fumé is the local name of Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
So it's here in the region of Centre-Loire. You really here in the kingdom of Sauvignon Blanc with Sancerre, Pouilly Fumé, but also smaller appellations like Mentoux-Salon, Quincy, Reuilly, and Coteau du Génois.
That Pouilly Fumé is quite confusing though, isn't it? Because you've got Pouilly Fumé, Pouilly Fusé, which is a Chardonnay from Mâcon Village.
Yes.
Fumé Blanc, which is a US.
Yes, Vestal's the name. I can prove it.
and then you've got another Fumé Blanc, or you call it Blanc Fumé, which is the local name for Sauvignon Blanc. So you're sitting there, and everything just seems to be, I'm talking about it, I always have to stop and think, right, have I got the name right before I move on? So
of course. So Pouilly Fumé, it's Loire Valley wines from Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay, that's it. Done.
That's it.
Okay. All right. And then the Sancerre. Sancerre's got an awful lot of range of different soils, isn't it?
Yes, yes. If you want to be very, very precise, you have maybe 15 or 16 different kind of soils. But usually, as in Pouilly Fumé and in Sancerre, and even in the region, we spoke about four different kinds of soils. So you have the calcaire, so limestone soils. After that, you have Kimmeridgian or chalk. Argilo-calcaire.
Yeah, Kimmeridgian, that's actually...
clay and limestone.
Yeah, clay and limestone. That's actually named after a town in England.
Of course, it's come from Cambridge, but it's the same soils, you know?
Yeah.
It's coming from England, it go through the sea, and after that it go from Parisian region and Chablis, Burgundy region, and it comes to cover Coteau du Génois, Pouilly Fumé, Sancerre. It's like a moon, you know?
Bigger half arc.
Yeah. Really, it's the same soils. And Kimmeridgian comes from Cambridge, like Oxfordian comes from Oxford.
Oh, okay.
So you have, as I said, you have limestone, you have clay and limestone, and you have flintstone, silex.
Yeah, silex. And that's a mixture, isn't it? It's not just straight flint.
No, it's flint and clay, of course, because if you have only flint, it's a little bit difficult to plant roots.
And it's not too wet for clay in Loire, because you're quite far north.
No, that's okay, because of course after that you have the kind of soils, you have the climate, but you have also the exposition.
Yeah, slopes.
The slopes, south, southeast, southwest. So everything is important and is going to give you very big differences. And it's why sometimes in Sancerre and in Pouilly Fumé, you can have 2 weeks or 3 weeks of difference when you harvest the same grape, because you have to wait for the maturation, because it takes more times. It depends, of course, of the year.
Some of the grape varieties that you get in central Loire.
Okay.
The main one I think of Loire is Sauvignon Blanc, which is a big one out east, which we spoke about last week, but also Chenin Blanc. And Chenin Blanc is a grape variety I'm really starting to enjoy. And yeah, I've been looking at it and trying to work out the different flavors you get from Chenin Blanc. What sort of flavors do you get in the Loire, and how does it change with climate?
Loire is very important because you have a different kind of climates. You begin from the sea with oceanic climate, and after that, when you go to the center, you are going to have less oceanic influence, and in the middle of France, like a semi-continental influence.
Yep.
It's why the main white grapes in Loire is Melon de Bourgogne or Muscadet. And after that, Chenin Blanc and Sauvignon Blanc, it's both 25% of the production.
Yeah.
So it's very located. When you stop Melon de Bourgogne, you arrive in Anjou-Saumur, so you start Chenin Blanc, and you can produce dry, sweet, or sparkling in Anjou-Saumur. And after you go to Touraine, and when you stop Chenin Blanc in Touraine, you start Sauvignon Blanc region in the eastern part of Touraine and arrive in the kingdom of Sauvignon Blanc in Centre-Loire.
Okay.
So the choice of the grape is very, related to the climate and the type of soils.
But within that, you must get cooler parts that grow Chenin and warmer parts that grow Chenin. And I always think of Chenin, usually I've drank a reasonable amount of South African Chenin, and there seems to be a couple of things going on with the fruits.
Completely different, of course, because the climate is not the same. The soils are not the same. So the maturity is not the same. So when it's ripe to harvest, the for sugar and acidity, it's the ripeness is not the same for the aromas. So in the if you speak about Loire Valley wines from Chenin Blanc, for Chenin Blanc, if we can say in Anjou-Saumur, you are going to have dry Chenin Blanc from Savenières, for example, and it's very dry Chenin Blanc, very precise, very square, and very, very nice wines, but you have to wait a little bit to drink it because it's very strong and it's very fruity nose, but a fruit like white fruits, you know, pear, it's very, very common. And after that, when you arrive in, for example, Vouvray and Montlouis-sur-Loire, it's not the same kind of soils, it's not the same climate.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's a little bit more run in the mouth,
yep.
Even for dry.
Yep.
And of course, if you want to produce sweet wines, for example, you have to overripe. You have to wait. You wait, and you harvest overripe fruits. So it's going to be more the same kind of aromas, but like jam, you know, pear jam, like a confiture. Right?
Okay.
It's very rich. And the most funny stuff is when you age the wine, because Chenin Blanc with his acidity is very, very good potential for aging. If you test a dry wine from Chenin, from Vouvray, for example, or Savenières 10 years after, in the nose, you are going to have the same kind of aromas than for a sweet wine, but it's still dry in the mouth. It's why it's really nice wines to pair with foods.
I was reading that a lot of the more tropical flavors you sometimes get with Chenin can be more associated with fermentation temperature, where you have a real high fermentation temperature.
But usually, what in the region of Loire, we are in the northern part of the production of wines, and main producers really want to make wines who have the face of a location. You see, it's not they don't produce Chenin Blanc; they try to produce Vouvray.
Mm.
And of course, it's made from Chenin Blanc. But it's going to say, okay, this is in Vouvray, I'm in limestone soils, I'm in, even in Sancerre. They don't want to produce Sancerre. They don't want to produce Sauvignon Blanc. They want to produce Sancerre or Quincy or Pouilly Fumé.
Yeah, okay. One of the Chenin Blancs I really like is Côte de Lion, the dessert wines. And I was really impressed. I first stumbled across those about 5 years ago, and I was going, wow, Sauternes gets all the noise, but these are not... Well, I've had some really good ones.
It's really good because, in fact, as I said, even when you overripe the fruit to produce Coteau du Lion, as you said, or Mont-Louis Moelleux, you still have the freshness thanks to acidity. So it's never... Even if you have residual sugar, the balance is always on freshness. So it's really nice to drink, and you can drink it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fat wines, you see.
Yep.
It's elegance, and you still have elegancy in the sweet Chenin Blanc from Loire.
How about, we talked about Melon de Bourgogne, you said that was like a key one, or Muscadet.
Yes, of course.
And Muscadet, to me, can be okay aromatic, but I don't think, it's not like a Muscat grape variety.
No, it's not the same.
It doesn't have that sort of real in-your-face aromatics. And they tend to do a lot of stuff with it in the winery, like Surly, leaving it on the dead yeast and things like that. Can you just give us an idea of the sort of expressions of Melon?
Usually, if you take a classic Muscadet Sèvremaine, because it's most important appellations, so you have the mention Surly on Lys.
Yep.
So they are going to wait until the beginning of March to bottle the wines, and they keep the wines on the Lys because it's going to nourish, to feed the wines and make it, can I say...
texturally, isn't it?
Yes. It's more texture, more rich, and also give some, not sparkling, but fizzy, some fizzy notes.
Yep.
And it's why when you test a classic Muscadet sur Lys, young, it's still it's nice for the seafood, for oysters, because it's still a really, really alive wines with a lot of floral notes and...
They're not very austere, though.
No, it's just It's a real. What I love is this kind of Muscadet is the simplicity. So you don't have to think about a lot of stuff. You just drink and say, "My God, it's good," and I want another glass.
Yeah, and they're reasonably fleshy as well. You know, yeah. They're not austere.
But now the you have a new generation of Muscadet also because of course they have different kind of soils and they just create a new level named cru communaux, like a village. For example, from Gorge because they Gorge or Clisson, and they want to make and they really succeed more mature wines, so they wait more on lees, and it's really make wines from for lunch and to match with more fleshy foods with fish in sauce or stuff like that, and really Muscadet is a really nice region to rediscover.
Probably the big red grape in the Loire is Cabernet Franc. That seems to be
the main grape, and it's more than 52% of the production.
I must admit, I haven't had a lot of Cabernet Francs from the ones I have had, I've enjoyed, but I don't see it a lot in the shops in the UK.
Yes, because, you know, Loire Valley wines, the main production is white wines. Mm. And the main, most well-known appellations for Loire Valley wines is Sancerre, Vouvray, and Muscadet. Yeah. And, of course, it's the main production, and it's a production you can find outside France. And for when you speak about the red wines, we export maybe 5 to 10% of the reds. So it's a real beginning of that. And we have really nice wines, and especially, as you said, from Cabernet Franc.
I always think Cabernet Franc from the Loire is it's a lighter style of red. Not a rosé, but a lighter style. But sometimes they can have some quite nice savoury notes in them as well. Mm-hmm. Is that sort of a reasonable assessment of it?
When you speak about the red, it's the same. It depends on the soils, because if you produce in Chinon, for example, if you produce the wines near Loire Valley, it's more sands and gravel soils, so it's light. It's lighter soils, and it's going to give you lighter wines. Yep. So wines easy to drink, to enjoy, more like summer wines, you know. And usually it's really interesting for that in Saint-Nicolas de Bourgueil, in Saumur-Champigny, for example. And after that, if you produce more from the Loire, you are going to make more structured wines and wines ready to age. And it's another style. So you can find the two styles, even, of course, from Cabernet Franc, but also for Pinot Noir in Sancerre. You can have the light wines, light red wines to drink in the summer and really easy to drink, and also wines ready to age.
Just moving out further into your Sancerre and your Parfumé, Pinot Noir, hardly ever see any Pinot Noir. In fact, the only time I've ever seen Pinot Noir out of Sancerre is when I was in Sancerre.
Yes, of course, because it's the same. Of course, Sancerre is very famous for his whites. And the main production, as I said, we have 7 appellations in Centre Loire, and we have 2 appellations who produce only white wines, Pouilly-Fumé and Quincy. We have another third, very small, named Pouilly-sur-Loire from Chasselas, but it's only 30 hectares. So, and after that, Sancerre, Mentoux-Salon, Reuilly, and Coteaux-du-Genois, they produce from 70 to 82% of whites.
Yep.
So you have, if you take all the appellations of Centre-Loire, it's 82% of white wines. And after that, you have 6 to 7% of rosé, especially from Pinot Noir in Sancerre, Mentoux-Salon, and the only 12 to 13% of red. So as for Cabernet Franc, as for Chinon, when you speak about, for example, red Sancerre, there's a lot of people who watch you and says, no, Sancerre is white. So it's really interesting because now we have a new generation of winemakers, and they really want to improve the quality and the identity of the red of Sancerre, of Mentoux-Salon, or Reuilly, for example. And it's the beginning, and it's really nice to discover because it's, of course, it's Pinot Noir, so sometimes it can be not so far from Burgundy wines, but you always have the Loire effect. So the freshness, the lightness coming from Loire, thanks to Loire, comes into these wines, and it's really nice to discover. And now people begin to, the importers have an eye on that and says, okay, maybe I can do something with that, and we hope people can discover more and more of red wines from Loire Valley.
What about the, just talking about Sauvignon Blanc now, which is obviously the, the one that you're most excited about from being central of Loire. It's central Loire, I always think of that as being the center of Loire, but it's not. It's the center of France, isn't it?
It's in the center of France.
Yeah, so that
the very center of France.
But
is,
it's to the right of Loire. It's right at the,
because the Loire, you know, it just turns in the middle of France and goes through the south.
Yep.
So we are in the, as we said, it's 200 kilometers in the south of Paris, and it's a very, very, very middle of France. And Sauvignon Blanc is here for a very, very long time. And maybe we've, I think we have two important parts of production of Sauvignon Blanc in the world. Its origin, Centre Loire, and New Zealand.
Yep.
Because in the Marlborough region, they can produce completely different Sauvignon Blanc, but it's really nice. And in our region, thanks to the climate, thanks to the different kind of soils, the limestone, the clay, and the flintstone, and also sands and gravels in Quincy and Ruy, you can have very, very different kind of wines, because Sauvignon Blanc is maybe one of the most sensitive grape to the soils and the climate. So the work of the winemakers is really to, every year, as I said, not to produce Sauvignon Blanc, but to produce Sancerre, Pouilly Fumé, and says, okay, when I open a bottle of Sancerre, I'm going to test a very different kind of style of wines, because it's not the same than in Mentoux-Salon or in Pouilly Fumé.
You say that, but I've noticed over the last 5 years or so that some of the Sancerres I've been tasting are getting more and more like a pulled back Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. They seem to be riper and more fruit driven than maybe some of the minerality you used to see. And I remember going to Sancerre when I first got in the wine trade about 10 years ago. And there's some gnarly old woman bashing stones together and going, oh, smell the gumflint. I couldn't smell the glumflint, to be honest.
I think it's, we have two facts, important facts. The fact is now, you know, we have global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we have global warming, and the fact the winemakers works in a really good way to have ripe fruit. But it's like an old clock, you know. You come on the right, and sometimes you have to come back. And now people really want to say, okay, we have to harvest of a really good time, because if we harvest a little bit too much ripe, it's going to be more Sauvignon Blanc than a Sancerre and a Quincy. And people really want now to still keep the, as I said, the freshness, the minerality of the wine. And but it's always in movement, because they're always looking for the highest quality they can. So sometimes it says, okay, maybe if I harvest really ripe, it's going to be really nice. And of course, it makes nice wines. But for example, the 09 vintage was really nice, but maybe less regional than the 010 or 011.
Just looking at that flintiness that people talk about, it's mainly perfume they reckon is the gum flinty type of smell. And I don't really smell that on the wines. I was just wondering, how much do you think is a function of the soils and the climate and winemaking, or how much of it was maybe due to reductive winemaking where they keep the wine away from oxygen when they're...
I really think now biggest part of the winemakers in the region wants to make their wines express the soils and the climate. Because of course we are small, because in Centre Loire region it's only a little bit more than 5,000 hectares, so it's less than 1% of French quality wines. So we have, you know, now you can produce really, really nice wines everywhere in the world. So it's not a question of quality. It's a question of, okay, what can I do to make my wine different? And we are lucky in the region, because if you respect the soil, the climate, and if you try to harvest just the just ripeness of the grapes, you are going to produce a wine good, of course, and also with a typicity.
Yep. Okay. All right, then. I think we're going to wrap it up there, Benoît. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Cheers.